hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. This is the final edition of the live version of the whole show in 2020. We're taking tomorrow and Christmas off, and both Colfax and I don't know what you're doing exactly, but, you know, I'm probably just going to be around the house, but we're taking next week off. So we'll be back in the new year. So yeah, it's been fun. It's been a crazy, crazy year. A lot of nutty stuff going on, and it just gets nuttier. Let's get right into it. Big story of the day. Big story of the day is presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. Well, yesterday was pretty hot and heavy on the James Harden stuff. James Harden, Nuggets discussion, Jamal Murray, Bol Bol, future picks. Then it shifted to the Rockets were very interested in MPJ. So they were looking at maybe a package deal type thing there. So that's not going to happen. Nuggets aren't doing it, especially now. Houston Rockets and the NBA are reviewing James Harden club video, sources say. The Rockets and the NBA are reviewing video of James Harden partying maskless at a club to determine whether he violated the league COVID-19 protocols, putting the perennial All-Stars availability for Houston season opener Wednesday night in question, sources told ESPN. It was published by a publication called Black Sports Online and has been circulating on social media. And so now they're trying to investigate and see if that, you know, what's going to happen with Harden tonight and in the foreseeable future. Even without that, not going to affect the Nuggets. This was never a realistic thing. Denver's not in that area right now. Here's the deal, folks. If you go into 2020, 2021, and you see that Jamal Murray doesn't take that step, then the Nuggets are suddenly in a position where they're looking for another superstar. But right now, all signs point to up, meaning Joker's going to be better, probably MVP caliber. Jamal Murray's going to be better, maybe at least sniffing MVP caliber type status. And then MPJ hopefully is better. The Nuggets aren't in that position. So Nuggets go at it tonight to start the season against the Sacramento Kings. And Colfax, I'm setting it. I'm saying 58. You're saying 55. That's where we're going with that. Sticking with it. Feel good. Feel like this is going to be a great year for the Nuggets. I really do. You know, last year I kind of picked them to win the title. And I mean, a little unfair, right? Rocked us. The season was paused. And we had several months of no basketball, and then suddenly we restarted everything. So it's kind of like you started a new season in that bubble. Hey, go up against Sacramento tonight. You know, decent team. De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes, Marvin Bagley. Not a team that's going to make a lot of noise this year. You know, this should be a win for the Nuggets to start this thing off. They were, several games under 500 last year. Maybe I think 10 games under. So this is where you look at it. Now we just want to see what the depth chart looks like for the Nuggets. That's the big thing, because the big question still is around Will Barton and MPJ. What are you going to do there? I honestly think that they should go with Will Barton to start and MPJ off the bench, and you really have him lead. And you know, I say contend for that sixth man of the year. That's where I would set my sights for MPJ. And that's a hell of an award. That's a hell of an honor. But that, more than likely, that's where they're going tonight. We are going to talk to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Jermichael Green is out tonight. So really wanted to see him play, but he's listed as day-to-day. So he was going to be the backup power forward to Paul Millsap to at least start the season. How are they going to work that in? What's that secondary going to look like? Secondary, not like cornerbacks, Colfax, but that's the second unit, I should say. What's that going to look like? You know, Monte Morris, we know he's coming off the bench. He'll be a point guard. Michael Porter Jr., if he doesn't start tonight, it's going to be him coming off the bench early, or Will Barton. Isaiah Hartenstein's going to come in as a big man, you know, where Plumlee normally would have filled in. Does Bol Bol see any kind of time tonight? You know, where does PJ Dozier stack up? Where does Facundo Campazzo stack up? It always sounds like I'm getting ready to cuss, right, Koufax? I want to see him play, but I don't know. You know, is he, does he come in with that second unit? You know, late first quarter tonight? When Gary Harris goes out? Because, again, if you look at the depth chart, it's Jamal Murray, Gary Harris, Will Barton, Paul Millsap, Nikola Jokic. Then it's Monte Morris, Campazzo, Porter Jr., Jamichael Green, Isaiah Hartenstein. So a lot of question marks surrounding this group and how they're going to be doing it. I mean, Mike Malone, very pumped up. Pillow Fight Dan, can you imagine Harden at the Den? Would be like a bull in a China closet. Is that? I thought it was a China store. Or what is the saying? Bull in a China store? Chinese store? What is it called?
China closet.
It's a China closet?
I think so.
Oh, man. Now I have to look that up. Bull in a China shop.
Shop.
That's what it is. We were all wrong.
Closet shop.
Closet shop store. Bull in a China shop. Have
you... Wow.
You were certain.
I was there sold on it.
Is that, maybe that is a saying, too. Is that another saying? Bull in a China closet. Man, that's a great... I think that's a saying, too, but I always heard bull in a China shop.
China shop. That makes more sense.
Yeah. Closet. What's going on there?
Who keeps a closet full of fine china?
Yeah, you should display that, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Put that out. Or you put it in a cabinet.
Yeah.
So with glass up there, so you can see that. That's where you go with that.
A bowl next to a china cabinet.
Yes. A bowl next. Wow. I think we all agree, though, James Harden would have been a bad idea for the Nuggets, at least where they are now. Here's the risk that you take, though. If you don't, like if Murray doesn't follow up what he did in the bubble, and Murray goes back into that, 12 points tonight, 30 points on Friday night, 14 points the next game. If he goes back to that guy, does he lose trade stock? And then you might not be able to use him. Like right now, if you trade Jamal Murray straight across, you could probably get another star equivalent to what Jamal Murray is at this stage. But if we go another season like this and it's inconsistent Jamal Murray and you see some amazing games and then some really bad games, then you know, you might get to that point where it's like, oh, you missed the boat. You could have got a Harden type guy. But that's why, man, this is such a huge year for Denver. They have loaded it up. You know, they have their guys. They have Jamal Murray secured for a long-term contract. They have Nikola Jokic secured for a long-term contract. They got their veteran for one more year with Paul Millsap. They got some young talent coming in. You know, they like Will Barton. They like Gary Harris. They're excited to see what Michael Porter Jr. can do. They have loaded it up. This project that began when Tim Connelly hired Mike Malone, this project is here. You are at the height of the, you know, you're not at that ceiling, but you're where you think you're ready, you're equipped, you're loaded up. This is it. You went far last year. I don't know what the expectations were for most, but I think that Western Conference Finals fit. They made it to the Western Conference Finals. Those were pretty good. I mean, I probably exceeded a lot of expectations. So this is the year. This is the test year, and the Western Conference is loaded. So, I mean, there's a sense of pressure on this year to just be there, but it's loaded. The Nuggets are projected to be one of the best in the league, but you're seeing some really good teams throughout the Western Conference, throughout all of the NBA. That are, you know, they got their couple of superstars here. Now you look at Brooklyn last night. Whew. Kevin Durant, kind of getting tired of all this LeBron James, Michael Jordan talk. Boy, 125-99 over the Golden State Warriors last night. I mean, you saw Curry back in the fold. You know, he had 20 points, but his plus minus was minus 23. It wasn't a great showing. You know, you're still without a few of your big time pieces there. And, you know, that's, I don't know what Golden State's going to be. You know, with Klay Thompson, I had them being a top five team in the West. So that changes. But the point is the NBA is loaded. So Denver has done their part, I guess. They lost Jeremy Grant, but you still like a lot of this talent. Did they get better or worse? I think that they're still pretty damn good. But so much of that really relies on what Jermichael Green can be. What he can bring to the table when he can play. Now, that's the thing, though. We have a lot of these. Well, what can Jermichael Green be? Can Michael Porter Jr. play defense? Can Will Barton show us that he's recovered from that injury? Does Jamal Murray, are we going to see bubble Jamal Murray or average Jamal Murray that we saw in the season before we closed it all out? That's a lot of questions right now that certainly make it interesting for Denver. But, I mean, yeah, you look at Golden State, and they're still trying to get healthy. Draymond Green, listed as day-to-day. He wasn't in that game last night. So I don't know what to expect with Golden State. But, again, even though it's early, first game of the season, these are still important. 72. So there's not a whole heck of a lot of room to fail, I suppose, early on. So I do see Will Barton starting tonight. 16 minutes after the hour, we got a loaded show, and we're off again today at 1:30. Because we will shift over to UNC basketball game two, round two, I guess, against Idaho State. They win yesterday. I want to talk about that. Bodie Hume, Colfax, 27 points in that win. They were down 12 in the first half. It did not look good. But you got to be pretty happy with the way they finished that game. They found a way to get done. Missed a lot of free throws. And Bodie is now the second leading scorer in the Big Sky Conference. So he's right behind Tanner Groves of Eastern Washington. Not a huge surprise there. So we're going to talk about all that, all the games last night. Colorado State. I was wrong about the Rams. I was wrong. They beat Santa Clara, man. They found a way to do it defensively. They're playing lights out. Nico Medved's pretty happy about his basketball team. We'll talk about all that. Mark Johnson will be on. We'll talk about CU's bowl game, also their basketball team. Chris Dempsey will join us. And we'll head out to Bank of Colorado Arena, talk to Jason Alvin, the voice of the Bears, and get his take on what he saw yesterday and if the Bears can follow that up with another victory and start 2-0 in Big Sky Conference play. 18 minutes after the hour, I'll tell you guys about SCL Mortgage, family and veteran-owned. You guys know that interest rates are low. They're at all-time lows. Check them out at myspecialmortgage.com. Call them at 970-444-1222. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy, live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We'll be right back.
It's a party. Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back to The Whole Show. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. If you want to text the show, our First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. Text KFKA if you're a first-time texter. You want to get involved. And there you go. You'll never have to do that again. You just text into the program. 970-478-1301. Our game beer of the week from On the Rocks Liquor. This one's from Brick's Tap House, a pink Raptor Sour Ale. You get that for a discount price at On the Rocks Liquor. They're open until midnight on Christmas Eve. They're closed on Christmas Day. So I'm just reminding you, they're open until midnight Christmas Eve, shutting down for Christmas Day. John and Tony, owners, husband and wife duo of On the Rocks Liquor, they want to wish all the hooligans a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. That's On the Rocks Liquor. They've been with us since we started this show back in 2012, if you can believe that. Again, First Advantage text line, 970-478-1301. Poll question of the day. I know that this is an obvious answer for some, but I like to gauge this every once in a while. Figured it's a good end of year poll question. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. The state of Colorado, is the state of Colorado a Bronco state, Nuggets state, Avalanche state, or Rockies state? I guess that depends on who you ask. Are the Nuggets closing the gap? Whew. I mean, where are my Nuggets fans here? Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. We've got 61% of the hooligans still sticking with the 5 in a row, no playoffs, Broncos, saying it's a Bronco stay. Listen, I know it's going to take some big things to change, but wow, I must have more Avalanche fans that listen to this program. The Avs. So, okay, I have the Broncos sitting at 57% now. I just refreshed it. Avalanche are 21%. Rockies at 10, and the Nuggets are tied. The Nuggets are tied with the Rockies? Are you kidding me? So go vote. I'd like to see what your thoughts are there. Go to thewholeshow.com. That's our Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Is the state of Colorado a Bronco state, Rocky state, Nugget state, or Avalanche state? Okay, there we go. Now Nuggets have jumped over to the Rockies. The Rockies are at the bottom. Wow. So it goes. So according to the hooligans right now, 24 minutes after 12 o'clock on this Christmas Eve Eve, we've got Broncos, Avalanche, Nuggets, Rockies. Go ahead and vote. Let me see what you guys think on this. I personally think it's still a Bronco state. I mean, what is it going to take for it not to be a Bronco state? I mean, this is what it would take, right? You don't have an owner. You have a squabble going on for ownership. Roger Goodell's fed up with it. You're kind of the least favorite team, according to, like, in Roger Goodell's brain right now. You have no quarterback situation. You are now on your fifth season in a row with no playoffs. This would be the year for a different team to move up a little bit, I would think. You have the Avalanche and the Nuggets that are contenders on both sides of it. Okay, now the Nuggets have jumped up. Man, this vote's going nuts. Broncos are still at 52%, but the Nuggets have climbed. They're at 19%, tied with the Avalanche. Whew, this could be fun today. Power to Play Sports poll question of the day. Is the state of Colorado a Bronco state, Nugget state, Avalanche state, Rocky state? And will it ever change if it is a Bronco state? Because right now it's pretty overwhelming that it's a Bronco state. I'm already waiting for some of those.
Well, why didn't you put CU in there and CSU?
As much as I want it to be spread out like that, this state has been a Broncos state, and then it's kind of distant. Everything else is pretty distant, but it's certainly going to be the four pro teams are going to be there. This is not a college state. I think it's growing. You know, if you listen to this show, you obviously know we talk a lot about the pro sports in Colorado. We talk a lot about the college scene in Northern Colorado. But I don't know where we are with everyone there. So go ahead and vote. Let's see where the Nuggets in. Is it Lonster? Lonster, I'm gonna guess. The state of Colorado is a Bronco state, Nuggets state, Avalanche state, Rocky state. You're gonna say Bronco state.
You know, because as far as I know, it's always been a Bronco state.
You're not wrong.
Ever since I grew up here.
As far as I know, ever since I grew up, it's been the Broncos, number one. Do you see a team ever closing that gap?
You know, one of these times it's going to happen, but when, I have no idea.
If the Nuggets win a championship this year, if the Avalanche win it, because on our poll here, it's showing 52% of the Broncos, and then the other 50 basically spread out between the three. Nuggets and Avalanche are well ahead of the Rockies at this stage. If the Nuggets win a championship, or the Avalanche win a championship this year, do they close the gap?
I think they would a little bit. I really do.
So what would it take for the Broncos not to be what would it take for this state not to be a Bronco state?
I'll tell you what, if they keep losing game after game after game, I think that would do it right there.
So next year they don't make the playoffs 6 years in a row, Nuggets and Avs win the championship, does it change?
I think it does. Oh, I really do.
Wow. So you're putting like a 6 year max on the Broncos, and then you need to see a championship, though, from one of these other two teams?
Yeah, I really do. Because I'll tell you what, the way the Broncos are going, they need something to get that team sparked up there.
I want to know who the poor 9% are out there that's voting for the Rockies.
Oh, they are. Ooh, good luck on that one.
9% of the hooligans are saying that this state is a Rocky state, it belongs to the Rockies.
Rockies, they're going to have to show us what we can, what they can do a little bit.
They got to make the playoffs more than five times in their existence before I'll consider that, right?
They better have an undefeated season.
Yeah, do something special. I will say this, though. When they went to the World Series, this state kind of turned purple, I think.
Yeah, it did. I mean, the whole state was just going nuts on it.
Yeah.
They really were. I mean, everywhere you looked around, it was Rockies all the way there.
Yeah, it was. It was crazy. So I will admit, when the Rockies are good, which we've not seen that much, they do kind of take the state, they hold the state captive for a little bit. Lonster, what's for lunch, man?
I had a bowl of chicken noodle soup and some, and with some tons of hot sauce into it.
It's a good day for a bowl of chicken noodle soup, isn't it?
You know, especially the way that wind is kicking out there.
It's cold out there, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Lonster, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, my friend.
Thank you, and I want to thank you guys for all you did this year.
Hey, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for sticking with us.
Hey, it was a pleasure, too.
Our Power to Play Sports poll question is, this one's fun, man. Is the state of Colorado a Bronco State, Nugget State, Avalanche State, or a Rocky State? It's climbing. It's changing a little bit here. But the Broncos still running the show, 47%. Nuggets at 21%, tied still with Avalanche. And Nuggets and Avs going toe-to-toe here. Rockies are starting to fade a little bit, kind of like they do in July. This must be a July poll or something. So go vote at thewholeshow.com. I'm curious to get your thoughts. 30 minutes after the hour, we're switching gears. We are talking about a pretty damn popular Colorado Buffalo team coming up next. This team, football-wise, going to a bowl game, playing Texas. We'll talk to Mark Johnson about that, as well as the basketball team. They get a nice win over the Grand Canyon Antelopes, which Colfax says are not really in America. They win 74-64. Grand Canyon is, of course, in America. The Antelopes, they're called, what are they called?
Pronghorn.
Pronghorn. That's what we see. Antelopes are in Africa. My goodness. 30 minutes after the hour, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
35 after the hour. Welcome back. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. Joining me now, Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And, man, it's a good time to be a Buffs fan. You got the Buffs for this football team, I think, shocked a lot of us. I know the regular season didn't end quite the way we wanted it to, but, man, Carl Durrell, Pac-12 Coach of the Year, basketball team's rocking and rolling, sitting at 6-1. You got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, things are good to be a Buffalo, and considering how 2020 has been, I will take exactly what's happening, because it could have gone a lot of other ways, as we found out about 2020, so we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. Let's talk about that basketball side of things first. Buffs win over Grand Canyon last night, 74-64. Mark, what I like about this team is, you know, when you watch this team, you look at the box score, whatever. McKinley Wright, we all know this guy is going to be a next-level superstar, but he's not stuffing the stat sheet necessarily every single night. Had a nice game last night, but this is a very team-oriented group, meaning they're playing for each other, trying to put each other in the best situation. You don't always see that when you have a guy that knows he's going to be a big-time NBA player.
No, that's what was impressive, especially about the game against Washington on Sunday night, because, you know, the Bucks scored 92 points in that ball game. They had 52 or 54, whatever it was, at halftime. Everybody was getting involved, and so McKinley just sat back and just orchestrated. You know, didn't force anything. Excuse me, in that ball game. That to me, and I was talking with Tad yesterday about this, and I said that to me said more about him than anything he's ever done in terms of putting up a, you know, 21-point, 6 rebounds, 7 assists kind of stat line. Because being a superstar player at this level, he's up for a lot of national awards and didn't feel the need to go out and have to get his. Now, last night was a different story. You had that Grand Canyon team was very impressive. I thought that was the second-best team they played this season behind Tennessee, obviously, which is a top-10 team right now. And McKinley, fully understanding that he had to be bigger offensively, went out and scored more last night and looked for a shot more. And so, you know, he's really an unselfish, great player for the Buffaloes, and I think that's what makes him one of those guys that, when it's all said and done, we'll talk for many, many years about McKinley Wright.
And I think that's what's interesting now in, you know, with NBA scouts and everything. You know, they obviously they don't just look at the stat line, which is a good thing. But I think nowadays, you know, maybe 10 years ago that's different, but I think nowadays people are looking at guys, all right, maybe they were really good and they scored 25 points a game, they scored 20 points a game, whatever. Or are they watching how they get everybody involved? Because NBA teams now, I mean, that we're starting to see more and more guys. Yeah, there's spread out superstars on these teams, but there's three, four guys. So it is about getting other guys involved. Look at LeBron James. Look at Nikola Jokic. So I think that Wright's only adding to his stock, if that was even possible.
Well, I would think so. And, you know, the question about McKinley at the next level is his size, number one. He's, you know, he's only 6 feet tall. And then is he 6 feet tall and, you know, supremely quick like a Chris Paul is? And so, you know, there are questions about McKinley at the next level and what he's able to do. He's a phenomenal college point guard, and will go down as, like I said, one of the greats in Colorado history. But the things about the NBA and what they're looking at with him, they've seen him become a better shooter. He's got his turnover numbers down, so that's a good thing. He's become a better ball handler. You know, his overall game is very good. He plays bigger than he actually is in terms of rebounding, being able to post guys up. And so, you know, it just the team-oriented mindset that he has just adds to it. You know, they're still looking at the physical things that they wonder about him, but they don't question the heart. They don't question the character. They don't question the overall basketball acumen and IQ. That's all there, undoubtedly.
Mark, I have to always confirm this. I'm looking at a schedule on ESPN, but next up for the Buffs, we start Pac-12 play, right?
That's right, on Monday night. This is the rescheduled postponed game from earlier this year when they were supposed to play at Arizona. They'll play that game on Monday night, yeah.
Yeah, looking at the Pac-12, I mean, some teams have already kind of gotten into their conference, played a couple of games there. I'm looking forward to that Buffs sitting at that 1-0 mark, too. So I'm pumped to see what this group can do, you know, once we really roll into the thick part of the Pac-12 conference season schedule.
Well, I think they've got a great opportunity. Now they start very difficult. They're at Arizona, and then they go to the L.A. schools on New Year's Eve, and what is it like, the 2nd of January, I think, is when they play the back end of that game, that swing through Los Angeles. But still, I mean, look at Montana went into Arizona the other night and nearly pulled out a win there, for goodness sakes. I mean, they went down there. They were up by 7 at the half, the Grizz were, and then Arizona came back and ended up winning that ball game by 4 or 6 points, whatever it was. And so, you know, going to Arizona, one of the things that's always made it tough is that has been, hands down, the toughest place to play in the Pac-12. I've always said that the three places in this league that are difficult to go, Arizona, Colorado, and Utah, those are the three places where you know you're going to fight a crowd. You're not going to have to do that this year when you're Colorado going down there. And so that's taken that home court advantage away. We've talked about that in the past, about how that's going to be different this season. And then this Arizona team is talented, but it's not like it has been in the past. And the more I see this Colorado squad, the more I like it. I think it's balanced offensively and defensively. It's balanced with depth. They've got a great point guard. They've got solid play up front. They're versatile in terms of what their talent looks like and the length they've got in this team. So, you know, I like Colorado's chances going into Arizona on Monday night.
Yeah, looking at the Pac-12 too on the outside of the of conference play. For the most part, teams fared pretty well. I mean, it's you got to like that if you're looking at the overall success of the conference. But we know that's all going to change once these teams get to beating each other up a bit. But some good looking teams. I mean, Washington State comes to 7-0. Oregon's I think 6 wins on their record. So I mean, some really good basketball teams so far. But like we said, things will change once we start seeing them beat up each other.
Yeah, with that question, and then you know, Brady, and you well know this. You kind of take non-conference slates with a grain of salt, especially in a year like this where everyone had to juggle their schedules very quickly and slap something together. And so, you know, I think when you look at what Colorado did playing at Tennessee, that's a big-time, a high-level game. When you just look at those kind of games across the schedule for the Pac-12 here in non-conference play, the league didn't do as well in those games as you would like to see it. Probably the best win for the Pac-12 was UCLA beating Marquette. I think that was probably the top win. Colorado's performance at Tennessee was solid. Ended up, of course, getting beat there by, 7 or 8 points by the time it was all said and done. But, You know, when you looked at that, there weren't any real big-time marquee wins out there. They did solid into their games overall. You know, Washington State, God bless them, was 7-0. I'm not sure I'm buying into that right now as being the top team in the league. But I think when you look across the league, I still expect Colorado. I think Stanford's very good. Oregon's going to be in the conversation. Arizona and UCLA. I think those teams right there are probably the ones that I think will probably rise to the top by the time it's all said and done. And there might be another. Maybe somebody kind of slacks off a little bit. But I think generally those five teams will probably be in that upper group, probably fighting for the league by the time it's all said and done.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Of course, looking forward to a nice conference schedule. How about on the football side of things, seeing those Buffaloes get into that Alamo Bowl, take it on Texas. A lot of controversy the last couple of weeks with the Pac-12 and what that should look like. But here we are. I mean, they're 4-1, only five games they played. They get into a pretty significant bowl game. Carl Durrell is the man. He Pac-12 Coach of the Year. I think he should be Coach of the Year with how things went with him with the Mel Tucker situation. But there's not really much you can say negative about this Buffs football team.
No, without question. I mean, you get Carl Durrell getting Coach of the Year in the Pac-12. You get Jerick Broussard as the Offensive Player of the Year. Nate Lamon, I think you could make an argument that there was a slight with Nate being a first-teamer but not getting the Defensive Player of the Year in the Pac-12. Noah Sewell from Oregon is a very, very good player. So, I'm not going to argue too hardly against that. The one that got me, the snub that I thought the Buffaloes got when the postseason honors came out, Carson Wells, who leads the nation in tackle for a loss per game. And, I mean, it's not even close. I mean, he only played five games, and, maybe you can hold that against him. But when you're talking about the Pac-12 Conference Awards, you shouldn't be holding that against him because nobody had a real full schedule out there. The most games were played were six, and he doesn't get on the first or second team all-league linebacker. I thought that was a little bit of a slight right there. Overall, though, I think, the Buffs represented very well in the postseason honors. They look good this season. They're going to be one of the few teams out of the league that's in a bowl game playing Texas on December 29th in the Alamo Bowl, first time since 2016 that the Buffs have been in a bowl game. That happened to be the Alamo Bowl as well, of course. But, there's so much positive to talk about with this program and what Carl Durrell has done. I'm just excited about kind of the future and where it all looks like it's going.
Pretty crazy, right? I know 2020 is weird and all, but if you just kind of take that aside and look at the actual football, you go to last year, the Buffs think that they have this coach, this Mel Tucker, that's going to change the Pac-12, going to make it tougher, right? He's leading it. It's going to be where the tennis shoe league is gone. We're making this a tough-nosed conference. He leaves, and that whole thing was tough, and I think Buffs fans maybe just felt lost, betrayed, lost, scared, confused. Used, like my daily regimen. But then you see Carl Durrell come in, and I mean, I don't know what the expectations were, but wow. I mean, if you're a Buffs fan, you're on cloud nine. This is so much more than I think you could ever imagine when that whole situation transpired several months ago.
Yeah, without question. I mean, you go back to, the season ends a year ago, started out relatively well. Then they don't make a bowl game, and you're thinking, okay, well, fine. It was year number one for Mel, and we're all buying, what he's selling. We're drinking the Kool-Aid at that point in time, and when it fell apart, and you started hearing the rumblings and the whispers about him leaving, and you're thinking, you got to be kidding me, man. And then when somebody leaves like that, there's always rejection, and I think from a fan base. We were all, kind of licking our wounds and thinking, what in the world? And then, Carl Durrell comes in late. It's a hire that Rick has to go out and rush and find somebody. And he finds Carl, who's got a nice resume, but it wasn't, one of those sexy hires that, wins a press conference and people start going crazy about it. All of a sudden, everyone's buying season tickets and donating money, those kind of things. It was one of those you looked at and thought, well, it looks solid. And maybe this is going to be okay. And, boy, I've heard really good things about him. And he had a level of success at UCLA and seems to have been a highly regarded guy in the National Football League, where he's been for the last number of years. And, boy, you hope this is going to work out. And then yet here we are on the back end of year number one, and you're thinking, well, maybe that's the best thing that could have happened to Colorado football. And so it's funny how it turns out all the time. I've always said, people always talk about winning the press conference. I'd rather win the ball games than win the press conference. And the early returns are – that Colorado maybe didn't win the press conference, but they're winning the ball games. And if that continues moving forward, everybody's going to be very excited about it.
Yeah, and there's still another test yet to come, another opportunity for the Buffs to really show that they belong. You know, going up against a top-ranked team, a 20 team in Texas. You know, I'm normally not huge. I like the idea of expanding the playoffs. I want to see that eventually. Bowl games are great and everything, and it's kind of like it's there. Go earn it, get it, cool. But this is a little bit different because I feel like CU, you know, they've been slighted by their own conference and maybe outside the rest of college football. This is an opportunity for Colorado to say, hey, no, we absolutely belong and playing with, you know, with top-tier teams.
Oh, I think so. They got a great opportunity here. And you know, I agree with you in expanding the playoffs. I've said that for many years. I want an 18 playoff. I think that would work very well for college football. I don't think they should ever, and I don't think they will ever, take away the bowl system because I think it's part of the history of it. It's great for the two campuses that are on. It's more football for all of us when we get to December and early January, and I'm all for that. So I think that's a good thing. But this is a great opportunity, and this is why I like the bowl system right here. Colorado gets through. Fine, you're not one of the playoff teams. You're not one of the Final Four, but you get an opportunity for extra practice. You get an extra 14 to 15 practices. You get into that bowl game. You get to play a high-quality opponent. You get an opportunity to, you know, take another step, if you will, and continue to build that program. And so that's why I love the bowl season. I think it's a great part of college football. Now, do we have to have as many bowls on a normal circumstance as we have? Maybe you could cut back in that little bit, being that, you know, by the time it's all said and done, see like 50 teams get to play in bowl games. That's quite a few. Maybe you don't need that many, but I still think it's a great opportunity for Colorado. We're going to take it, and I'm looking forward to next Tuesday night.
No question about it, Mark. Any broadcast details for us just yet as far as what we can expect both on the basketball side and football as far as what you guys are doing?
Yeah, after last night's game, now we're off until Monday night. And so although we do have on the Colorado Football Network, we do have a bowl preview show coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. Well, you can find that, of course, on the network affiliates, and we'll have that tonight from 7 until 8. And I think Darren Cheverini, you know, Carl Durrell obviously is going to be there, but Darren Cheverini, I think Katie Nixon, I think, is going to be the player that they're going to supply for us. So we've got that. But Monday night, the Boston, Arizona. Oh, goodness, you're testing me. I think that's a 7 o'clock pregame, I think, and 7:30 tip, I believe, on the Basketball Network. And then Tuesday night, we'll have football. I know that's a 7 o'clock Mountain Time kickoff. And Gary Barnett and I will have the call at 5 o'clock on Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff coming up next week. I'm looking forward to it. Mark, appreciate you, man, as always. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. I'm off next week, so we'll catch up with you the following week. And we appreciate you jumping on with us each and every week throughout the seasons.
All right, Brady. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners as well.
All right, man. That's Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. And I mean, it is a good time to be a Buffs fan. You know, you feel damn good about this team. Tad Boyle's crew, 6-1, starting up. They have the one Pac-12 game under their belts with Washington. Yeah, if I could spit that out. But that was, you know, with the scheduling and way things go, they had Grand Canyon in the mix. Now they're in the thick of it. Now it's Arizona, USC, UCLA, Oregon State. We're jumping into all things Pac-12. So we'll see how the Buffs fare. 51 minutes after the hour, still to come, Chris Dempsey. Game one tonight for the Denver Nuggets of the regular season. Chris going to talk to us. Who's starting at 3? And all this James Harden poppycock, that's what I'm calling it. Was that exactly what it was, or was there something there? Talk to Chris about that in the second hour. Also, Jason Alvin talking to us about UNC playing Idaho State coming up at 2 o'clock right here on 1310 KFKA.
You're listening to The Halls Show, powered by PDC Energy and 1310 KFKA. Brady will be back after the break. It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA. The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to The Halls Show on 1310 KFKA.
Seven minutes till the top of the hour. Welcome back to the show. Today is your last day to stop by Emanweiler Appliance. They're playing Santa this year. They're giving away a Broiler King gas grill. It's valued at nearly $500. So stop by, register. You're out and about, whatever. You're heading home from work. You're getting ready to take some time off. Make sure you sign up. We'll get that winner sheet. We'll contact the winner Local Odds. It's Manweiler Appliance in downtown Windsor. Check out their beautiful showroom at 414 Main Street. That's in Windsor. Visit their website, manweilerappliances.com. First Advantage text line is 970-478-1301. 478-1301. If you're new to the show, text KFKA to that number, and you'll be in the text club. Our Power to Play sports poll question of the day. Is the state of Colorado a Broncos state, Avalanche state, Nugget state, or Rocky state? Do not give me, they're all four. Why not have it that way? No, don't do that. I don't like to play that game, Colfax. Be decisive. I'm telling, if all four teams are playing the exact same time and you could only watch one, and they're all four really big games, let's just pretend, who are you choosing? Who are you watching?
In the height of all, or just like right now?
Let's say they're all, like, all good, and okay, they all have a chance, like, each one, like, it's a huge game. Let's just say it's a, let's not say Super Bowl, whatever.
Okay, okay.
Let's say it's a regular season game, and it's a big game, like, it's a game that could either put them in a better spot to the playoffs, but they're all four good. Who are you choosing? I know it's kind of a different question, but it's kind of the same.
It's kind of the same. That's tough. I've got to go Broncos.
You're still going to go Broncos?
Just because there's so few games in that specific situation.
Okay, what if it's last game of the season for all four, and it's a game to put each one of them into the playoffs?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Maybe Nuggets. I don't know. It's so exciting.
So it changes knowing that maybe. Nuggets, you got tons more games left. Broncos a little different. That's. I'm probably going Nuggets. 10, 20 years ago, I'm going Broncos, but I'm going Nuggets there. But Nuggets, Broncos, and then Rockies and then Avalanche for me. Not as much of a hockey guy as I probably should be. I know enough to be dangerous, but that's also very dangerous. 47% say it's still a Broncos state. So, and it's pretty, you know, the Nuggets and the Avs are staying tied here. Just going toe-to-toe, back and forth. 21% for the Nuggets and the Avalanche, and 8% going Rockies. That 8%, you're bold, man. You're very, very bold. This is a Rocky state. So when you go on vacation, oh, you got the Broncos. What? No. We got the Rockies. That's our team. You know, we made it to the playoffs five times since like 1994, but it's a Rocky state. Good luck, 8%.
I don't hate that. I don't hate it.
You don't hate that there's 8% of diehard Rockies fans out there that are like, nah, man, it's a Rocky state.
Like you said, when they were in that World Series, it was insane.
I think
there's just like this weird bubbling base of Rockies fans just waiting.
Yeah, that, I tell you, that is the thing that makes me go, all right, I kind of get where you're coming from, Rockies, because when it was Rocktober and they went to the World Series, it was nuts. Absolutely.
Even just a couple
of
years ago when they were
made it to the playoffs.
That was huge.
It was still
exciting. Glued to the TV.
Right. Yeah. It was fun then, too. No, you're absolutely right. I think that Rockies fans are ready. They're excited. They're pumped, but they're scared. You know, this team's bad. But as soon as they're good, the state does kind of turn purple. So maybe 8%, you're on to something. Second hour coming up next, we're going to talk to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV. Nuggets, Kings tonight, game one of the regular season. We'll get Chris's thoughts next.
NoCo Now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.